But praise God, amen, amen. Young people moving forward, and all of the young folks in this place, we are excited for you all. We're praying for you all. Those that are not here, we're praying and knowing that God has a perfect plan. Thank God for our children, Pastor Ralph, being raised up in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Being raised up knowing right from wrong.
Praise God.
So be blessed the Lord. You know, I want to read, before I show you the scripture today, before I show you the subject, somebody was quick enough to see it. But I want to read the passage first. I didn't tell the IG department that part. But I want to read it because, you know, we're going to be looking in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. And Mark has a unique take on the life and ministry of Jesus. Mark jumps straight in. He's straight in and showing all of the miracles that Jesus worked amongst the people, showing his compassion and his mercy and his love and his grace, his healing virtue. And so he hits the ground running, and he uses terms like immediately and just quickly, and it's just showing the love of Christ, the power of the Lord, and all that he was doing. The same God then is the same God today. The same Jesus of Galilee is the same Jesus of Ontario and Israel and everywhere else along the
way.
And he's yet in the healing business. He's in the saving business. He's in the delivering business. He's in the business of resurrecting dreams and hopes and visions. Where folks have lost hope, he will restore the hope. He will cause us to hope again. He will cause us to see the proverbial glass being half full and not half empty. God has a perfect plan for us. On the door, three P's is Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans that he has. Plan of good and not evil, and to bring us to an expected hope. He has a hope for it. All we have to do is rest in him. So in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, it says, and again, he, Jesus, being he, capital H-E. You know, if my wife rubs her the wrong way when she sees somebody put Jesus with a small J, or God with a small G, or he referring to Jesus with a small H. And, you know, she's a stickler for details when it comes to God's word. When she sees that, she's like, ooh, you know. So here in this passage is capital he, Jesus. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this.
Amen.
Praise God for the reading of the word. Praise God for the reading of the holy word. His word, people's word. So the subject today is Jesus is in the house.
Amen.
Bring a friend. Praise the Lord. It looked a little lengthy, but y'all pray with me today. Amen. Jesus is in the house. Somebody say that again. Jesus is in the house. Bring a prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. So let's unpack this passage that we just read and see just how awesome our Lord is, how gracious he is, how loving and kind he is, how powerful he is. Thank God for Jesus. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
I mean, nothing. Somebody say, my wife says, no thing. There is no thing too hard for God.
Amen.
Excuse me. Mother Ashley, I'm nervous. We got to get one of those little white caps and put on. So let's unpack this. In verse 1 and 2, we find that Jesus was in the house. And wherever Jesus is, the crowd is going to show up.
Amen.
When Jesus is in the house, things begin to happen. People would gravitate to Jesus. Why? Excuse me, because of the love, because of the compassion, because of the words that he spoke. Nobody spoke like Jesus. They said, we never heard. But it was another situation where people say, what manner of man is this? He speaks to the wind and the waves, and they even obey. Now, you know all this wind we've had last week? Nobody in here could say, peace be still. You out there, doing like this here, getting inside that house real quick. But Jesus can say, peace be still, and all of a sudden, calm will come to the situation. Jesus is in the house. Amen. Bring a prayer. Praise God. Excuse me. So Jesus, it says he entered Capernaum. You know, Capernaum was like, he kind of moved out of Nazareth. You know. And Capernaum really began the place where he would operate from. And folks would get the word where Jesus was. And it's funny how some folks would come to Jesus because they knew that there would be a blessing just by being in his presence. Others would hear that Jesus was in town or in the house, and they came with ulterior motives. They came with wrong motives. They would come with trying to trap the Lord, trying to see how they could crucify him, how they could create havoc for him. But I thank God that I come to him because I love him, because he first loved me. Thank you. Thank you, sister. He came into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus was in the house, and immediately gathered together, many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached what? The word to them. Jesus, the word incarnate in the flesh, preached the word to the people. And there's something about Jesus' words that will pierce the heart.
Yes.
Amen. It's something about Jesus' words that will cause a sickness to leave. There's something about Jesus' words that will cause us to understand that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
It's something about his words. So Jesus preached the word to them. Can you imagine the house was packed and full and Jesus was preaching the word?
Yes.
You're talking about anointing in the house.
Yes.
You're talking about power in the house.
Yes.
Power to be delivered. Power to be set free. Jesus was in the house.
Yes.
See? And see, sometimes we turn folks away. We were out at the air show down in El Centro yesterday with Blue Angels.
Woo!
Is that right, Rocky? That's another woo-woo. It was a blessing. And if it wasn't 3,000 people out there, it wasn't none. The folks was in there like ants. But I imagine that's the way it was in this house where Jesus was. So in verse 3 and 4, see, it comes a time that we need to bring a friend the best way we know how to Jesus.
Yes.
I would imagine everybody in here knows somebody who don't know the Lord. And we need to be wise in how we try to lead folks to Christ. Sometimes it's by word. Sometimes it's by deed. Sometimes it's by prayer. Sometimes it's by the old bait and switch.
Yes.
Just get them in the house.
Yes.
But we want to bring folks to Jesus. So it said, and they came to him, bringing apparently a crippled man. A man, no doubt, that's a quadriplegic. They brought him, and the person who carried him, he was carried by four men. Can you picture one of them stretchers, Brother Ron, like in the military where you got a soldier on each end, two at the feet, two at the head, and they carried him. The man, he couldn't do anything for himself, but he had some friends. He had some friends who was concerned about him. He had some friends who knew that if nothing else could help, Jesus would be able to help.
Amen.
It comes a time where money won't help. Where hookups won't help. But it comes a time where only Jesus can help.
Yes.
And it's good to have a friend. See, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Yes.
There are friends that will go out of their way to help you in your time of distress. If somebody come and they turn their back on you in time of need, that's not a friend.
That's right.
But oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
All our sins and griefs to bear. So his friends, they carried him. And when they could not come near Jesus because of the crowd, that didn't stop them.
Yes.
Sometimes the simplest little things stop us from doing the will of God.
Yes.
Well, time for my show to come on. I'll go lay hands on them later. When the Lakers get through losing. I'm not mean, when they get through playing. You know. Well, I don't quite feel, you know, but when you see a need, when you know that there's a need, there's a concern, and only Jesus can do it, then guess what? We gravitate to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. Can you imagine to tan up the roof? Can you imagine sitting here, Jesus talking, and he's preaching to us, and all of a sudden somebody opened up the roof, said, we can't get in the door. So we figure we'll tap the roof. That, you're talking about a real friend. You're talking about an act of faith. Praise God. So when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they broke through the roof. Those days the roofs were flat and they were made out of mud and straw. And they say, you know, they got up there some kind of way. I don't know how they got the man up on the roof. I don't know if they had, each one had a rope, threw it over a beam or something, but they got him. Listen, if we want to help somebody, we'll go out of our way to help them.
Yes.
See? We don't want to see anybody in a bad way. God, what can we do to help? So they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. I don't know if their arm was this long or if they had a rope, each one, and they lowered him down. Can you imagine? Right in front of Jesus. Say, our friend needs some help. Jesus is in the house, and we're going to bring the friend.
Amen.
Do we think about that sometime when we come into the house of the Lord? Do we think about bringing a friend? Do we think about bringing a neighbor? Do we think about bringing a loved one to the house of God that they may hear something that will change their life? They'll see someone testify. They'll hear someone teaching or preaching. They'll feel a love from the saints of God, a hug saying, Jesus loves you. Man. So these folks, they had that in their mind. When Jesus saw their faith, verse 5, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Well, now, I imagine Prince said, we didn't bring him here for that. We brought him here because he's crippled. Jesus knows what we need.
Yes.
He knows our physical situation.
Yes.
He knows our spiritual situation.
Yes.
He knows our emotional situation.
Yes.
He knows everything about us.
Mm-hmm.
And we may go to God for one thing, and he'll bless us with another thing.
That's right.
But the thing is, we went to God, and he blessed us.
Yes.
See, sometimes, you remember when Paul, he saw the Lord three times to remove the thorn in the flesh. The affliction that he had. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. But I'm going to use you, God said, for my glory. You're going to be an apostle to the Gentiles, Paul. He said, so in verse 5, he says, he says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Remember I told you when we read, there were some folks who come for the wrong reason. The scribes, the religious leaders, those of the law. Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Think about this. They were reasoning in their hearts. They weren't saying nothing. Do you know sometimes your people can tell what you're thinking by the way your face looks? your demeanor?
That's right.
See? Yeah. Hello. You know, I don't mean that. I'm not glad to see you. Yeah, man. Our demeanor means something. But Jesus, being God incarnate in the flesh, he knows what we're thinking. He knows what's in our heart. He know our thoughts before we even think them.
Amen.
And so these folks are overmatched when they come trying to trip up Jesus, the one who created them. So the Bible say, and some of the scribes are sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Hello? He is God.
Yes.
He is the creator.
Yes.
He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega.
Yes.
He is the Word of the living God.
Yes.
He can forgive sin.
Yes.
And Jesus read their hearts. He didn't read their lips. He read their hearts.
Amen.
And it's not even his will that they should perish. So he said, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned like that within themselves, he said to them, can you imagine them? Uh-oh. Because I shared with the saints one time long ago, I won't go down that road, but my mother spanked me one time for what I was thinking. I said, she must have got some of that from Jesus. Because she was lecturing me, Camille, and she was talking to me, and she stopped in her tracks. She said, I know what you're favorite. I'm like, and when she told me what she was thinking, she was right. And she beat me some more. and thank God we didn't have 911 because that would have got me killed. You know. Anyway, let me get back here. It may not have been good for me, but it was good to me.
Amen.
Just like castor oil. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But it'll get things moving.
Yeah.
He said to them, why do you read, verse 8, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? He asked them a pointed question. What's easier for me to say to the paralytic, to the man that's here, that's paralyzed, that his friends have gone the extra mile, let him down before me, in the midst of this huge crowd? What is easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven? They took issue with him saying, your sins are forgiven. Anybody sin forgiven today in this house?
Yes.
Are your sins forgiven and you're on your way to heaven?
Yes.
If you're happy and you know it, say,
amen.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. See, we were talking about the kids' rhymes, songs earlier this morning in Power Hour. We need to go back to Father Abraham stuff, you know. So he said, which is easier? To say, your sins are forgiven, or man, take up your bed and walk. He's saying this in response to what they were thinking, what they had in their hearts. What's in our hearts today? Is it nothing but praises for the Lord? Or is 90% of it praises for the Lord and 10% praises for me? You know, or who, you know, for you, meaning yourself, not me. You know, what's in our heart? He sure knows about it. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to be sold out, that we can hold out till he comes back to get us. So, but that you may know, he said in verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And then he started talking to the crippled man. The man had a need for his sins to be forgiven, as Jesus would have said.
All right.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin.
Amen.
Can I borrow a witness
Amen.
In the house?
Amen.
Have y'all ever sinned?
Yes.
You know, and you felt a conviction come over you?
Yes.
And you didn't feel right? You couldn't get right. You couldn't do what you wanted, what you normally do, until the Holy Spirit said, get down and repent.
Yeah.
And when we do that, it's like a weight is lifted up off us.
Yeah.
And we're free. We ought to stay free.
Yeah.
Whom the Son said free is free indeed.
Yeah.
Walk freely in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
So he told him, the Son of Man had on earth power to forgive sins. He said to the crippled man, he said to the quadriplegic, I say to you, remember Jesus is in the house.
Amen.
Bring a friend to the house. There's blessing in the house
yes.
of the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you want to go to that land?
Amen.
Where I'm at, Bob. In my Father's house, Jesus said, a many mansions. Bring folks to the house where Jesus is. He said, I said, you rise, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Now, mind you, oh, thank God, he had been let down through the roof. He didn't leave the way he came in. We should leave the house of the Lord the way we came in. We should leave a new way. We should leave with a little skip in our step. We ought to leave with some praise in our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So here, Jesus gives him a command. Take up your bed. This wasn't a suggestion. Take up your bed. How important is it to do what God say do? If God say do it, do it. He said, man, take up your bed. I can see it. And walk. Have a walk if God knows how to. And go to your house. Can you see? I wonder what Miss Paraplegic thought about it.
Mm.
He come walking back home with his bed.
Hallelujah.
Where you been? I've been to the house where Jesus was. And my friends brought me to the house where Jesus was. Something got a hold of me. I remember old son say, something got a hold on me. I went to a meeting one night. And my heart wasn't right. But something got a hold on me. It was the Holy Ghost that got a hold on me.
Amen.
He said, take up your bed and go to your house.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. We need to take up whatever is afflicting us.
Yes.
And we need to go to our house. Whole and healed and delivered and set free. No more chains binding me.
All right.
I'm going to be free in Jesus. That verse said, verse 12 said, immediately. I told you in the beginning, Mark uses those terms immediately.
Amen.
Not after a while, not by and by. Immediately, he arose.
Thank you,
God. He didn't do it in his own strength, but he did it in the power of God.
Amen.
Somebody said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you. In him, there is no fear. He said, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of all the naysayers. Some folks may think we crazy for loving Jesus. Take up your bed, walk on past it. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm delivered. I'm on the Lord's side. It makes me mighty glad. Laugh if you want. But I'm on my way to heaven. I'm blessed and I know. Hallelujah, I'm healed and I know. I'm delivered and I know. Thank you, God. Took up his bed and went out of the presence of them all. So that all were amazed. All. The naysayers. The seekers. The ones with the question mark on it. Everybody was like, wow. Don't you know God will do a wow moment in our lives?
Yeah.
You're looking at some wows up in here. Look what, I wish we all had a mirror right now. And we grab that thing and say, look what the Lord has done. Why are we out of darkness into this marvelous house? I was lost when I was lost. I was blind when I see. Glory in the dark.
Amen.
Spirit in your back pocket. Just in case you need it again. I've been changed. He said, and so that all were amazed and glorified God. What was they saying? We never saw nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
never saw nothing like this. That's the God we serve.
Yes.
He do things that folks have never seen.
Yes.
He worked things out that folks would say are impossible.
Yes.
He put broken things back together that seem to me there's no way it can happen.
Yes.
But he's God.
Yes.
And we love him. And we take our issues and our burden to the Lord and we leave them there. And we thank God for the good times. We thank him for the bad times.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
Thank him for the sunshine. We thank him for the rain.
Preach.
If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do.
Yes.
Thank you, God. The man left. He left walking.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord. And you remember John 11? Jesus' friends, Martha and Mary, and Lazarus, who died. And everybody, and Mary and Martha was in the house. And they were grieving because now Jesus didn't show up when they thought he would show up. But Jesus knew they were in the house. And he's omnipresent.
Amen.
Each one of them said, if you had been here, our brother would not have died.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
He who believes in me, he will go and get what he is. And do you believe in him, you will never die. He said, do you believe this? Jesus, when he comes in the house, he stepped in the midst of all the mourning and crying that was going on. And he said, move away the stone from the tomb where he's buried at. And even though they were sad because the brother was dead and figured, Jesus, where were you? He said, move the stone. They said, well, by now he's stinking. See, sometimes stuff can stink so bad. We don't think there's no way to fix it.
Yes.
The devil is a lie.
Yes.
God be glorified.
Yes.
There's nothing too hard for God. Jesus wept. Jesus wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus.
Yes.
I'm talking about the God of all creation, death. He wept when he saw the hurt of all the people. But he said, enough already. He said, Lazarus? Oh, glory be to God. If you haven't read it, read it. He said, Lazarus, come forth.
Yes.
And in those days, they wrapped folks in mummy clothes.
Yes.
And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the man, he come out of that grave.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, unloose him, unwrap him, and let him go.
Yes.
I can imagine Lazarus got busy. He wanted to praise God. And guess what? The same Pharisee, they wanted to kill him again. Because of his testimony about Jesus. Jesus is in the house. Bring a friend. The church had begun to grow over in Acts chapter 10. And God sent an angel to Cornelius, a Gentile centurion.
Mm-hmm.
Told him, you got to go see a man named Peter. He got a message for you. God sent a word to Peter. I got somebody coming to talk to you, man. So when the Holy Spirit shows up in the house, they both begin to testify. Well, I had a vision and I saw this. And I had a vision and I saw this sheep coming down from heaven with all kind of four-footed beasts on it and stuff that wasn't not supposed to eat. But God said, don't call nothing unclean that I call clean.
Amen.
And he perceived that God is no respecter of persons.
Yes.
He said, Gentiles and Jews alike, come into the house, bring a friend, be delivered, and you'll be all right.
Amen.
You know what? Let me close out. But Zacchaeus was a little bit sharp man.
Yes.
He probably was half my height.
Yes.
And here was another crowd that was gathered around Jesus. They weren't in the house. They was outside the house, but they were all around Jesus. And Zacchaeus, little bitty sharp tax collector, hated by the public. Taking money from his own people for his own benefit.
Yes.
But it's something about when Jesus began to draw you.
Amen.
It's something about when he began to knock on your door.
Yes.
See, those kids used to sing those songs. When he spoke, I heard his voice. When he spoke, I made my choice. That man from Galilee. Do anybody remember when God began to knock on the door of your heart? You may have been doing your own thing. God said, no, I got a plan for you. Everybody in town, they're giving up on you. God said, not me. I have great and awesome plans for you. Isn't it a blessing that we're part of God's plan?
Amen.
So this hated man, this short little fella, I don't know if he had a short man syndrome or not. It don't matter. But he got to a point, he couldn't see Jesus. All these tall folks around him, he said, I just want to see Jesus for myself.
Amen.
What can I do? I got to get to Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody say he need to know how to get hold to Jesus. And he said, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to climb up in this sycamore tree.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up into a high place.
Yeah.
Where I can see this Jesus that everybody's talking about.
Right.
And Jesus come walking by. He didn't even look up. But at the last thing, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. What did he tell you? Cause come on out of this tree, because today I must abide in your house.
Hallelujah.
He said, I got to go to your house. So here this hated man is taking Jesus into his house.
All right.
And the Spirit of God is moving so in that house. Zacchaeus, the conviction, Pastor Ralph, came up on him.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? Jesus, if I've taken anything from anybody under false pretenses, I'll restore fourfold. Half of my goods I give to the poor. And Jesus saved him and his whole house.
Amen.
Amen. Ooh, glory to God.
Amen.
Jesus is in the house.
Amen.
Bring the rent. Thank you, Lord. And if you're in the house, don't sit in the house and just hear the word.
Right.
But sit in the house and receive the word.
Yes.
And when you receive the word, apply the word to your heart. Amen. That you will be blessed of the Lord.
That's right.
And you'll be able to go out and tell somebody else what great things the Lord has done. Not only will you be able to go out and tell it, you'll be able to go out and demonstrate it.
Yeah.
In Mark 16 and 16, I believe, he said, go ye into all the world.
Yeah.
Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved.
Yeah.
He that believe not shall be damned. But these signs shall follow them that believe in my name.
Yeah.
Glory to God. They shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. How many want to be blessed of the Lord? How many want to walk in the power of God? All we have to do is go into the house.
Amen.
Where Jesus is.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Ralph, do you have a chance to just come and have a word? This is on today.
Amen.
Pastor Ralph, here, if you like to preach, whatever the Lord says, just do it this time.
Amen.
Amen.
And I was sitting there and I was thinking, Lord, if it would be in your power, give me the strength if he calls me. And God is great. You know, no matter what state we're in, if you don't get excited when you hear about the word, if you don't get excited when you see what the Holy Spirit has done and continues to do in each and every one of us, it should excite us enough to bring a friend. It should excite us and ignite us to go out and talk about what we heard today.
Yes.
And so many times we walk out the door and we allow the world to just engulf us. And we forget. But I thank God because the Holy Spirit is real.
Yes, he is.
And it resides in our heart. And I love what he said. And it took me a long time to realize when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's because there's a need. And he wants you to do something. Because somebody else is hurting. Somebody else needs to hear what God has put on your heart. Doesn't it excite you when you do what the Holy Spirit has asked of you? And then you hear the blessing of the testimony, how you touch somebody's heart just by a simple word of encouragement.
Yes.
You know, I used to get tired of feeling the Holy Spirit remind me day after day, Ralph, go do this. Ralph, go do this. Ralph, go do this. I thank God that He never gave up on me.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
And He doesn't want to give up on any one of us. That's how much love our God has. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I thank You for today's message. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would excite us to go out there. We, each and every one of us, have friends and family members who we pray for, who we talk to. Help us to bring a friend. Help us to be excited enough to share Jesus with them, what You have done in our lives. We are walking testimonies. Others already know. They see there's a difference in each and every one of us. They can see and know there's something different as we open up our mouth and reveal our hearts. Father, I pray that You would encourage us to just tell them what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yes.
What a precious thing that is to say, Jesus changed my life.
Yes, yes.
There was nothing I could ever do, but now I have eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Thank you, and it's there for you too
if you believe. Father, again, we thank You for this message. We pray for the offering, Lord. We thank You that we are a church where we don't need to pass an offering plate. We've got a box on the wall.
Yes.
And Your word says, give with a cheerful heart. And we see the evidence. We thank You for the food that's been prepared.
Hallelujah.
We pray You bless the hands that prepared it.
Yes.
And may we enjoy the fellowship. And we thank You, knowing, as Camille said, in this place, we understand and we know the Holy Spirit is real.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is here.
Yes.
And our hearts sing with joy.
Yes.
Whenever we open our mouths.
Yes. Thank You, Jesus.
We thank You tremendously for everything You've given us,
for
allowing us breath in our lungs to wake up this morning.
Yes.
We praise You for everything in our life, especially Your Son, Jesus Christ, who made everything possible.
Yes.
And in this name we pray. Amen.